As we end the month of January, February looms. And the question is, with the trade deadline approaching, where do the Clippers need to make moves? Do they need to make moves? There's been a lot of talk, a lot of rumors swirling around. I am going to be joined by a fellow Clipper podcaster to talk about what the Clippers need and look back at the month of January. That's coming up on today's Locked On Clippers.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, sir. You are locking in with the Clips. Thank you for making Locked On Clippers the first listen of your day, your team every day. I'm your host, Darian Vaziri, in my 18th season as a Clipper fan. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dime Dropper Pod and subscribe to Dime Dropper on YouTube. And of course, subscribe to Locked On Clippers on YouTube and answer today's pinned question. And that is, I've asked this so many times, but now that we're getting closer to it, what moves do you want to see the Clippers make? And what moves do you think they need to make? And joining me today to talk about that very topic, we've already had two fellow Clipper podcasters. The first was Charles Mockler, who did Locked On Clippers before me, now doing Clips and Dip. And then we had John from Courtside Clips. We've actually had three then. And then Chris Wilde from the Clipcast, now bringing in Trent Maddux, the man who hosts the only post-game Clippers space, and he also hosts his own podcast, Clippers 9450. Trent, welcome to Locked On.
Thank you so much for having me, Darren. Sorry. I really appreciate it.
No problem, man. So you're the only host of a post-game space. You get the raw reaction of Clipper fans after the game. So let me just start out right away, get right into it. What moves do you think the Clippers need to make? We have so many discussions about this. The two things that everyone's talking about, a point guard, which it feels like we've been talking about this for 3 years now.
Yep.
A point guard. Yeah, right? A point guard besides John Wall and Reggie, I guess. And then a backup big. Do you think we need both of those things? What, or do you think the Clippers need anything at all? I'm going to let you take it away.
I would say without question that we definitely need backup big. We've needed one since opening night. And we've said, you know, we've got this guy in Zubats who is reliable as the sunrise. We're just going to kind of let him chew up minutes and be out there nonstop. Well, you know, no man is made of iron, and he has had his setbacks. And he also has foul trouble from time to time. And then we've got, you know, no real options on the bench. I mean, I like Moses Brown, and his effort is fantastic. He is 7'2", and you can't teach that. And then Musa Diabate is so raw, very exciting, but very raw. When you're a championship-level team, you need an innings eater at the backup just in case. And we still do. And that can happen either through trade or through a buyout or just picking out somebody that's already out there. You know, there's Hassan Whiteside, and Dwight Howard will come back from Taiwan the instant somebody, you know, gives him a ring. So the backup center is a definite need. As for point guard, I think that the job should be Terrence's to lose. And that's just me. You know, I think that the backup point guard, Reggie's probably got that under control. Norman Powell's going to be doing a lot of the ball handling as well. That seems like it kind of works. I don't know. I just don't see. We also have too many dudes, though. So it's like, it's this, how do we go with how do we get all 12 of these guys playing time when we're really running a 9-man rotation? So
it's tough.
My take is the real need is a backup center. And if there is a way, a wild Hail Mary shot for a 4-5 hybrid that's bigger, more athletic, younger, you know, that's what we really seems like we need, isn't it? Like juice. Like we need youth and athleticism and speed. And so far, none of the targets we've talked about would fit that. You know what I mean?
Definitely. I mean, and fives that are, you know, guys that can play as your biggest guy on the court, but are also athletic enough to guard bigger wings and stuff like that are very hard to come by. Everybody talks about Jared Vanderbilt. I mean, shout out to one of the Locked On subscribers. He's been talking about Jared Vanderbilt since day one. And I always say, like, I don't think the Utah Jazz are just going to part ways with this guy very easily.
That's the thing, yeah.
But
they really love him, and he fits right alongside Walker Kessler. That's becoming quite a little combination. Boy, they did really well in their two major trades this offseason. So Danny Ainge is he's a highway robber, so I'm really scared to have to deal with him if I'm the Clippers front office.
Absolutely. Don't call Utah. But today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel is the official new sports betting partner for Locked On. Just wanted to say that. But, okay, so you talked about the backup big. We'll talk about specific names in the next segment. But what about – so you say the point guard. It's Terrence's to lose. We should talk about the rotation now because I know we felt a certain way about this. You are a strong believer – that the Clippers should play a 10-man rotation in the regular season.
Yes.
It seems like with Ty Lue's staggering of Kawhi and Paul, that means that one of them is in at all times, so he likes to play nine guys. What do you think of that strategy? Because he's going to try to do that in the playoffs. I think he's preparing them for the playoffs. What do you think of that strategy, and do you think the 10-man that you want will allow us to still play lineups without three guards at once?
There I was railing against nine-man rotations a couple of days ago on my pod, and I'm just like, the argument against the 10-man rotation is that we're not going to play that many in the playoffs. And I keep saying, it's January. Mm-hmm. It was December. It was November. And we didn't build any chemistry because we're always getting guys out. We've always had all these people hurt. So why not spread out those minutes just a little bit more instead of having Marcus play 27, 28, 29? Have him play 22 or 23. Instead of having Reggie play 30 a night, have him play 25, you know, and spread those minutes out just a little bit more. It's like we're wasting the biggest thing that this front office did for this team, which was give them a lot of depth. And depth only matters if you play it. And we haven't played it. So I guess maybe it is time for it, just to suck it up and say we're going to be a nine-man rotation. And find that consolidation trade if it's possible.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say we don't make any trade and we have these guys right now. What 10 players do you want playing? Let's say everybody's healthy, regular season game, important one, national TV, everyone's watching. You don't want to go nine men because it's a regular season game. So give me the 10 that you have that you want in the line, in the rotation.
It would be the four guards would be Terrence George, Terrence PG. I'm sorry, it is five guards total because I would play PG at the three. But Terrence Mann, Luke Kennard, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard and Zoo to start.
So you would start Luke Kennard when everyone's healthy. Terrence.
Luke Kennard with everybody's healthy because his gravity and playmaking, his off-ball playmaking is very intelligent. Absolutely. And then you can have Norm Powell, Reggie Jackson, Nico, Rocco, and then Morris be your backup, which sounds really weird. There's so many options.
That doesn't sound that bad to me. That doesn't sound that bad to me. You got guys that can score. You got size.
At some point, they will make that move for that second five or large four, whoever it is. And that person will probably – who knows how this is going to work out. But, yeah, I would play, you know, arguably the 10 best guys on the team. I like John Wall. I don't think his fit is right for this crew. Mm-hmm. I say he's this tremendous transition guy who is out there trying to transition by himself with four guys going, go ahead, dude, we'll catch you in a minute. he just doesn't seem to fit with the half-court precision vibe that we're supposed to be on. And then Amir Coffey is just kind of an odd man out.
Too many players that deserve to be playing. I do agree with your take on John Wall. I mean, we're a half-court team, and he's very much a transition player. My question is, do you think that with – I actually really like that 10-man unit, and I like the starting lineup you gave. The question is, since he always wants to keep Kawhi and Paul George on the court, let me ask you this. With the 10-man that you want, do you disagree with that? Do you think we should go with two full-on separate units and then mix and match as the half goes on?
I think you can go either way. That's the beauty of having depth that is movable. You know, you've got a Paul George who can play really one, two, three, or four. You've got Kawhi Leonard who can play two, three, four. You've got Marcus Morris who can play three, four, five. You know what I mean? Because you have so many different options, you can mix and match depending on the opposition on the court. You know, other teams are going to make adjustments to us as well. So I always refer to the entire roster as a toolkit. And Ty has this toolkit with all these tools that some of them can be used for multiple things and some can't be used for other things, for multiple things. Some are just, you know, like Luke Kennard is really just a two. That's all he's going to do. That's fine. He may have a little bit of one, a little bit of pick and roll in him. We saw that a little bit in Detroit, and I'd like to see him try it now. But
we've seen a little bit of it here, too.
We've seen a little bit of it here. It's one of those things that he's got all these options, and I'd just like to see him utilize more of them. We heard tinkering Ty, chiropractor Ty, he's going to be out there making adjustments. Okay, well, then let's make adjustments. We saw enough three-guard lineup. We'll never have to see that again, I promise. Good.
You figured that one out.
Now let's see some different four-wing, one-guard situations and see what that looks like.
Well, I like
Luke is that fifth player is going to be fantastic too. So,
absolutely. Clippers got a really good roster. As you said, there's a little bit of a logjam there at like the four, but a lack of athleticism. So coming up, going to be looking at specific names in the point guard and backup big discussion that have been floating around in Clipperland. Going to be talking about those guys coming up. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sportsbook in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Just download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with the no sweat first bet. Eagles and Chiefs, you'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. And there's only really one bet to talk about this week. It's not this weekend, but two weekends from now, and that's Super Bowl Sunday. And the FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, so back with my man Trent here from Clippers 9450 to talk about what names you might want to see the Clippers get or if you're a yay or nay. So actually, you know what? Let's make this a little fun. I'm going to throw some names at you. And I want you to just give me one word, yes or no. First one that was thrown out there. We're talking vet point guards here. One of the most infamous Clipper killers of them all, Mike Conley from the Utah Jazz.
Pass. No, I don't know.
No, okay.
Pass as in no.
We'll go more in depth about it in a second. But okay, how about a former NBA champion, a one that's played with Kawhi, Kyle Lowry.
No.
And then the last name, I feel like it's only three names really being thrown around there. How about Fred Van Vliet?
Yes, but it is a risky proposition, but yes.
Okay, we'll get into him in a second. And then backup bigs. All right, I'll throw some at you. On the waiver wire, Hassan Whiteside.
No.
How about Dwight
Emergency
Howard?
Emergency only?
Okay, no. Dwight Howard? No? Okay, how about
who? Look, they're options, but they're not good options.
Mason Plumlee. I've heard some rumors recently of Mason Plumlee.
I like Mason Plumlee a lot.
Okay. And then last and definitely not least, the one that everyone seems to want. It seems like a lot of teams want him, including the Brooklyn Nets, Naz Reid from the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yes, that would be great.
So let's knock him out one at a time. Why don't you want Mike Conley?
Mike Conley, 36 years old. Is he 36, 35?
He's old.
Not young.
We need to get younger.
Again, it's one of those things. Yeah, I feel like we really need to get younger. And his defense you lose defense the older you get. It's just fact of the matter. His shot's still there, which is nice. He's still a good playmaker. Doesn't turn over the ball. Smart player. Probably a really good locker room guy. There are some intangibles.
He will add to our basketball IQ. I will say that.
Yeah. There are some intangibles that I would say are worth it. If Mike Conley ended up on the team, I would, you've got to swallow the old school hate.
Yeah.
That mid-teens, early teens Memphis squad was hate-worthy. Absolutely.
I always go on the record and say they're the closest thing we've had to a real rival. Like, I could stand them. I couldn't stand them. Oh. And the craziest part is they beat us once and we beat them once. So, like, I had real heartbreak from Memphis, even though I feel like they were heartbroken with the 27-point lead they blew in game one of the 2012 series. And plus Zebo and Blake, I mean, they'd always go at it. Mike Conley did such a good job on Chris Paul. We could do a whole separate episode on that little rivalry, but keep going.
It was nasty. But the thing about Mike Conley is does he represent a large enough upside? In other words, like, is there going to be a moment where Mike Conley is called upon to score 20 points in a game? And you're going to have to start creating your own shots because, you know, PG twisted an ankle or something like that. I don't see Mike Conley doing that. Could Reggie Jackson do that? Could John Wall do that?
If there's a game where Paul George is out, that's the type of game where Reggie Jackson, you want to score 20. And I think he has a better chance of doing that than Mike Conley. I think the reason why Mike Conley's name is brought up is because, as we said, the basketball IQ stuff, do you think we struggle to create good shots?
I don't.
Okay.
When the guys actually run the offense, because sometimes they slide right into an ISO situation and go, okay, this is my shot. This is my ISO. And so I'm going to make it happen. And it's Paul George does it. Kawhi does it. They get a little happy and get into the offense super fast. And they get themselves locked into their first option as opposed to kicking back, making something happen. There are two ways to generate shots. You can either do it with a point guard or a ball handler who's capable of generating his own shot or collapsing in defense. Or you can generate good shots with ball movement and actual execution of an offensive game plan. When they do that, the shots are there. We've been, number two in offense in the NBA for the last 2 weeks or whatever it is?
It's really when Kawhi and Paul are playing together, man.
When Kawhi and Paul are playing together and healthy, we don't really need a point guard.
Everything you just said, it can apply to Lowry too. He's older. His contract is terrible. And Miami fans I've seen on Twitter recently, and even my cousin is a Miami Heat fan, they want to give him up for free if they could. Like, they're over him.
They'll pack his bags for us.
So absolutely no Lowry. And then let's get to Freddie V, who, in my opinion, is definitely the most interesting prospect. He is pretty much in his prime, just made the All-Star team for the first time. High basketball IQ. The Raptors fans, and I follow a lot of them on Twitter, have been saying that the reason why they're kind of over him is because there's a whole who's the second option thing behind Siakam between Scottie Barnes and Freddie V. And in crunch time, he seems to just take every single shot and just kind of ball hog and start gunning. And Nick Nurse kind of allows him to do that. If he were to come to the Clippers, he needs to know he's the third in line. He's definitely the third in line. Question is, does that make Norman Powell feel some type of way? Because it feels like Norman is kind of taking that step forward to be that third scorer. Is it going to cause problems? But Freddie V, I mean, what he brings is a playmaker in the pick and roll. He can shoot the ball. He can get to the hole. He plays defense. He's already played with Kawhi and won that ring. It would be hilarious to get another Raptor at this point from that team.
Yeah.
But give me your thoughts.
We're basically putting the 2019 Raptors
legit together. Legit. Keep going though. What you think?
I really like Fred VanVleet. An undrafted free agent, right?
Yeah, from which
to go on and make an all-star. This guy he just turned out a 4-year, $117 million extension. He may think that there's more money out there for him, or he may just not want to live in Canada for the next 4 years. Either one's possible. I love Fred VanVleet's attitude, the chip on his shoulder, the fight that he has. He's got legit dog in him. And he can play either on ball or off ball.
Right.
Because he's done that alongside Kyle Lowry in the past. And now he's kind of like the lead guy up there as far as ball handling goes. I like the Fred VanVleet fit in theory. But like I said, it's a bit of a risk because he has had a real down season. And because he's played for Nick Nurse for the last 3 years as a starter, he's logged a ton of minutes. Ton of minutes.
That's true.
And he gets nicked up. And do you really want another injury situation on this team? We don't have enough. Let's go for it.
That bodes the question, though. At what
like I said, finals or hospital. That's where we're going.
At what price, though? That's the thing. I mean, obviously, if you're trading Reggie Jackson and Marcus Morris for him, would say yes in a heartbeat. or John Wall or something like that.
Not really losing any massive assets if you can get away with, and I hate the thought of trading Luke Kennard. I hate it. But if you can get away with Luke Kennard and John Wall and maybe a couple of second round picks, that's actually probably a smart move.
So my final question is, let's say Luke Kennard is the asset that you are most mad about giving up. Would you do it for Freddie V?
You'd have to. It's a risk reward thing. I wouldn't do Luke and the first and the future first, because we can package that for future first and all the other stuff that's coming up in this offseason for like a real big fish.
Okay. Well, so if they ask about, let's say Masai Ujiri says we need to include either Nico, Terrence, or Rocco, you hanging up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last one, the backup bigs.
Besides, how many wings do you need, man?
Yeah, I know. Toronto has them, but let's finish off with the bigs. Hassan Whiteside, you said if emergency situation, I feel you on that. How much better do you think he is than Moses right now?
I would say significantly. The experience that comes along with being a rim-protecting, rebounding big in the NBA for however many years he played between Miami and Portland and Utah, what is it, 8-9 years of a career?
Something like that.
He's got some legitimate pedigree behind him. And there's no
teacher for experience.
There's no exchanging experience for anything. He moves better than Moses. And that's at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Moses Brown's footwork and his instinct aren't right. He's not in tune with himself yet. I think that could come with time, but not on this team.
Dwight Howard, you quickly said, I'm not down. Is that
I watched it up. I watched enough Lakers games last year to know that you can get a good game out of Dwight Howard and then he needs the week off.
Yeah.
So that's not really a recipe for what we're looking for.
He just looked washed last year. I watched a lot of Laker games too. He just looked washed. And then the final one, I mean, there's not much to say about Naz Reid. We obviously would like him. The question is, now I'll repose the question. If they ask about Rocco, Nico, or Terrence, you hanging up the phone?
Yes, I
if
am.
They ask about Kennard. What if they ask about Kennard? You making the trade?
The thing is, Naz Reid is a on the last year of his rookie deal. He's another undrafted free agent. Made his way up there as a two-way player. He makes nothing. He makes like less than $2 million. He makes the same amount of money as Brandon Boston or Jason Preston. So if they want to start sniffing around guys who are making $11, $12 million, well, they're going to have to throw in something extra. So at that point, it becomes a bigger deal. But, I don't know. I'm not giving Terrence up for Naz Reid. No. Oh, hell no.
Nico shouldn't go either.
No, I think Nico is too important as the glue guy. He's just the perfect X-factor plug-in.
Yeah.
He just doesn't make mistakes. He can play point-of-attack defense. He can play point-of-attack defense versus point guards or Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
You can't find guys that can do that, even Naz Reid. I wouldn't trust him to play against Joel Embiid for much more than a couple minutes.
No, he's a good stretch big, though, and he has some good instincts about him. But coming up, though, going to reflect on the month of January. It was a really big month for the Clippers. We found out a lot. We ended the three-guard set. So much to talk about. Going to close it out looking back at this first month of the new year. All right, so the Clippers are 7-8 as we're recording this. They have one more game remaining today against the Chicago Bulls. That'll be the last game of January. If we win, we will end the month 8-8. During this month, the Clippers opened it up on a losing streak after losing to Boston and Indiana and then lost to Miami and then the classic beatdown against Denver, Minnesota, and then a heartbreaking loss to Atlanta. We endured a six-game losing streak, even though all those losses didn't come in January alone. We ended that losing streak and then also went on our longest winning streak of the season in five games that was just recently snapped. What have we learned this month, Trent, about the Clippers in January, and would you view it as a positive month overall, even though that record suggests that it's not?
Ultimately, the process became a thing in January. It took this long for the process to actually show itself and say, hey, there is good offensive process here. when we can get Kawhi and PG on the court at the same time, things started to work. When Terrence was inserted into the lineup, into the starting lineup against Atlanta in the first Atlanta game, there was kind of a new side that opened up, a new energy that came out of the gates. And we started, you know, actually answering, I refer to this a lot, answering the alarm when it goes off instead of hitting the snooze button. How many games have we seen this season where we've gotten off to a, you know, 7-0 rut? You know, you're turning around, oh my goodness, the opposition's already up 10-0 on us.
A lot of slow starts.
It's like, why are we hitting the snooze button? We need to come out ready to go every game. And Terrence Mann has been able to do that. And I think also Kawhi Leonard's play has risen to, you know, he's at all NBA level again.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a solid month earlier than I thought it would be. But I would put him in, you know, the top 7-8 players in the NBA right now.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a tough one. You know, you have to sit down and talk. There's a lot of guys playing really great, but, you know, we like take our chances with, we will take our chances with Kawhi, especially.
Absolutely.
When we're talking top players, the playoffs are a big part of my criteria, and Kawhi Leonard's experience, as we talked about earlier with Whiteside, but we're talking about guys that have been there, championship experience. It's different than when you compare him to a guy like even a Luka who hasn't been to the finals yet, or even, I don't want to say Jason Tatum because he just got that finals experience, but Kawhi has gone over the hump. Only LeBron and Steph Curry and Giannis that are at the top of this league right now have really gone over that hump yet.
It's true. That's absolutely true. And there's, I just love where they are when they're healthy. This last Sunday against Cleveland, we won't talk about, but there's some flashes of the future there. But
definitely.
The pieces are there. I've said all along, the roster is good. If this front office didn't believe in this roster the way it's constructed, they would have made a move in this offseason. And I'm not talking just one free agent signing, which is all they did. Yeah. They would have made a trade. They would have already made the quote-unquote move. But it wasn't there. They didn't see it. If they're not seeing it now, it won't happen now. And they will ride or die with this group that they put together. Now that Ty has gotten away from playing guards and started playing more wings, everything seems to work a lot better, doesn't it?
I think the process has got there.
It's just
kind of insane that, you know, and I'm not the type of person to sit here and say people on Twitter know more than the coaching staff, but it's just kind of a weird season where we've been saying that it's not even rocket science. I mean, Jerry West talked about it before the season when we sat down in front of him and he said, we have so many switchable wings on this roster that it's going to be so hard for teams to score on us. And we just, it took till January to start giving Robert Covington consistent minutes. So that's one thing. You know, you mentioned Terrence Mann. Thankfully, this month, we have not said more Terrence all the time. So that's great. That's a step in the right direction. And we've also not had to say, stop DNPing Rocco. Now he's starting to play. And you're seeing, as you said, the process. I mean, 5-game winning streak. Terrence Mann and Rocco have had their fingerprints all over those. So absolutely in the right direction.
It's just looked better on court. I mean, it's the eye test is better. There were weeks of us staring at this team going, I'm not positive what they're doing right now. It's just messy. And it seems like with Kawhi taking an on-court leadership role, because that's who he is, and Paul George playing at an elite level too, the sky's the limit for these two guys and the supporting cast around them.
And the data also supports it as well, as you said, with the offense. We've been a top offense in the league in the last 2 weeks or so. And defense, I think it's going to take time to get it right. But I think that playing bigger lineups is absolutely going to help that. And I think as Kawhi starts to get back into that 2021 mode, which we're starting to see, especially offensively, once he puts it fully together on both ends, it's going to be dangerous. But any last words, though, before we close out?
I just want to thank you again for having me on. I really appreciate it, man.
Hey, it won't be the last time. So in retrospect, to cover it all, Clippers probably need, in my opinion, in both of our opinion, I agree here. And I didn't bring him on just because I agreed. I didn't know what he was going to say before he came on. But I agree that the Clippers need a backup big more so than a point guard. I think the point guard thing is very – actually, you know what? I want to say it's media-driven, but from everything we've heard from people within the team, within the media – Kawhi really believes in this point guard thing. And I think Kawhi needs to Maybe, see, I don't want to say Kawhi needs to trust Paul George and Terrence Mann because he's been a champion and like I'm just a fan. But Kyle Lowry is not the answer. And if we need to give up Nico, Terrence Orocho for Freddie V, it's just not worth it.
My question was, how old is that reporting? You know, that it pops back up now. Is it popping back up now, you know, 4 weeks after it was said or 4 months after it was said? Hell's bells. Kawhi Leonard could have said that 2 years ago after the bubble.
Has he? Well, I don't think. I don't know about that, but my question is, did he say it before or after the winning streak?
Before or after Terrence Mann was inserted into the lineup.
Right. But anyway, I guess only time will tell. The good news for this month, as I want to keep repeating, I've been beating a dead horse with this. No back-to-backs in February. Hallelujah. But make sure you subscribe or follow Trent on Twitter. You want to give us your information right here real quick.
Please follow the podcast at Clippers9450. And my personal Twitter is attached to that, so you'll be able to catch me on both. And then please follow the show. It's available wherever you get your podcasts.
And also tune in Clippers post game spaces. It's the only space right now this season. So post game, Trent and our boy DJ Primal host a space after the game where Clipper fans can vent their frustrations after the game. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dime Dropper Pod. And of course, subscribe to my own YouTube channel, Dime Dropper, for more Clipper, LA sports and NBA history content. And comment on today's pinned question here on Locked On Clippers. And that is, what moves do you want to see us make? What moves can we make? The age-old proverb continues as we approach the third game of our six-game Grammy road trip. Go Clippers.